welcome to Heavenly Blessings with Linda Dillon, the channel for the Council of Love and author of The Great Awakening, Suzanne Maresca, and myself, Graham Duye. It's a pleasure to be with you. Today we'll be continuing our series on the divine qualities, or what Linda describes in her book as the 13 blessings and virtues. And today we'll be discussing the quality of hope with Mother Mary. And we welcome your participation. We welcome your questions and your comments. Give us a call at 323-784-9697 and press 1 so that Suzanne knows you'd like to join us, and we'll do our best to bring you on. Welcome, Linda. Welcome, Suzanne.
Good morning.
Good morning. Here we are.
So we have a big topic, not taking anything away from the other qualities, of course, but this is something that often comes across many people's minds. And maybe, Linda, you can kick us off with some initial words and set the stage for today.
Well, yes, I'd love to. I think this is probably one of my favorite blessings and virtues. Mm-hmm. And it's cornerstone as well. Mm-hmm. And I think that one of the things that we're doing in this series is talking about the redefinition of what we have traditionally thought of as, you know, divine qualities or blessings and virtues. And hope, you know, the Council of Love has channeled these blessings and virtues. And in a nutshell, hope is the gift of heart knowing of the presence of God, mm-hmm. so that things are not always as they appear, and it's our ability to be still and to know that we can pierce that illusion. And if there's anything that we're doing is we're shifting dimensions, it is piercing that illusion and moving forward into the fullness of who we are. When we were getting ready, I was saying to Graham and Suzanne that I feel that hope is a really controversial issue, and they were sort of surprised at that. But, you know, I have heard over the years people say, well, don't talk about hope, because if you're hoping, that's all you're doing is hoping, as if hoping in and of itself is, you know, a useless thing to do. And it's probably the most profound thing we can do. But when people are saying that and using that terminology, they're thinking of hope in terms of, you know, that old song, wishing and hoping. Mm-hmm. And it's so much more than that. When we move into that place of stillness, and this is the blessing and virtue that probably comes the closest to the still point. When we're in the still point, we are in that place of hope. And it's holding that alignment of knowing that even if we don't know that there is a plan and that there is a divine plan and that we have a plan within that plan and that everything is in alignment, even when it looks completely screwed up. And I know... Well, I'm assuming, but I'd love to hear what you guys have to say. I certainly have been in places in my life where all I could do, because you feel stripped of your abilities, you feel stripped of your capacity to do, to fix something, to make it happen, where all you can do is just stay in that place of hope. Whether it's for yourself or for a loved one or for a situation, but it's big. It's huge.
It is.
I was thinking as you were talking about that, Linda, Barack Obama's book, The Audacity of Hope.
Uh-huh.
Right? I mean, that kind of captures that in that title, right? And I really appreciate what you're saying and think about faith and trust in that, too. So when there's nothing left, where it feels like there's nothing left, to have the hope, to have the faith, the trust, the boldness, the audacity, the belief, the knowingness of the presence of the divine, the knowingness that what we've been experiencing is illusion. So, yeah, that can get controversial, sure.
Yeah, and it's a hard thing to hold. What about you, Susie?
Well, as you were speaking, what came up for me was my nomadic phase when I was living in Colorado in my 20s, and I think I didn't know anything at that point. My dad had come out to visit me, and at the time I was seeing my dad as, someone who was wiser than me and knowing things. And I asked him, Dad, so, you know, life is so difficult. Why, you know, how do you just keep going? I mean, how do you work it out and come to grips with, you know, the purpose of life and why we're here and all that sort of thing? And his answer was the best answer he could give, but it was, you just keep putting one foot in front of the other. And I was pretty dissatisfied with that answer, but that's what his experience was. And I'm realizing that over time, I'm not sure exactly when it happened, but, hope as defined by the Council of Love, it pulls me out every single time. I never even think of it as hope, but by their definition, the knowledge, the absolute knowledge that God is there, that things are not as they seem, that this earth experience is an illusion and it's just an experience that we wanted to have, that God, that we serve the light by having this human experience of limitation, and that underneath it all, we are brilliant divine beings and that there really is nothing to worry about. So I have that now, thank God, you know, like half a lifetime in addition to when I didn't know anything. But, that's what occurs to me. And I'm sure that there are plenty of people that don't have that foundation, and I wish that they would.
Don't you know everything when you're in your 20s?
I wasn't one of those.
Look, I have a question that maybe you can help clarify. We're channeling, or you're channeling, Mother Mary today, and we've often brought on the Universal Mother Mary on our shows, and you shared with me that that's the same being, and yet Universal Mother Mary I've thought of as the highest form of the divine that we can connect with. So can you explain, are you experiencing different qualities? Are you experiencing different aspects or dimensions of the same entity when you channel both or either?
That's a really good question, Graham. And let me begin by saying it is the same energy.
Hmm.
Now, okay. When we talk about, I'm a Mary girl, the way many people are like one of Michael's or part of Michael's Legion, I'm a real Mary girl. And I have this affinity to the Divine Mother and to that energy is just, you know, what keeps me in my center and my serenity. But what I like about channeling the Universal Mother Mary, which is how she identifies herself, not how we identify her, is that it gives us the capacity, or gives me the capacity, because I can't speak for everybody else, to put a face. And, you know, I'm human. I like faces. I like to be able to have that feeling of connection with a being that I can feel her arms around me, or I can feel her loving, nurturing. And so when people think, oh, you're channeling Mother Mary like the mother of Jesus, well, no, that's like saying when we channel Jesus or Yeshua that we're just channeling, you know, that human being who was, you know, on the planet a couple of thousand of years ago. What we're doing is we are keying into that collective energy. So, for example, when I channel the Buddha, I always call it the Big Buddha because it's the collective energy of that being.
Yeah.
Or if I So it includes all the Buddhas who ever have been. So when we channel the Universal Mother, we are channeling, you know, all the various visions that are held of her on the planet and probably far beyond.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, the comfort level comes, the connection comes because I connect it to the Western ideology of Mother Mary. But it's so much bigger than that. You know, it's the Eastern, it's the Southern, it's all of those aspects. When I channel the Divine Mother, there is no form. So it's like simply going to the source. So it's more wispy, more amorphous, and it's a universal energy, but it's not personalized, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference. It's very purposeful that Mary, or Mare, calls herself the Universal Mother, because what I sense is that this is an aspect of the Divine Mother that basically is the Divine Feminine, you know, in charge of this universe.
So another universe has another one?
No, it's all the Divine Feminine. But this is the face that we get to look at. And, you know, is it Shiva? You know,
it would be
the same face.
Kuan Yin.
Yeah. Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Mm-hmm.
So these are different faces of the same energy. But in some ways, they've given us a picture or a mother energy that we can relate to.
Right.
That was the distinction I was trying to make. So the difference between the Universal Mother Mary or Mother Mary and the Divine Mother. So thanks for clarifying that. Do you have a different experience when you channel Jesus Yahshua versus Sananda, his higher dimensional self or aspect?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't. Because I've always gone directly to that collective energy.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. Okay. All right. Yeah. Thanks for speaking to that. Well, what do you say? Would you like to start us off with a meditation?
Yes. So the other definition, or included in the definition of hope, is the ability to be still and to encompass serenity. So I thought what we do in this area, that lots of room for conversation, that we'd start by getting serene. So let's relax and let go of the morning. I know the morning and the beginning of the week can be a busy time. We all have our to-do list. But thank yourself for taking this time for you to be nurtured, to be filled with serenity, to be filled with hope, to be filled with that infinite knowing. So relax into your chair, your sofa, the bed, the floor, wherever you are. And let go of the day. The color of hope is the deepest blue twilight. So let's begin by anchoring in our heart, deeper and deeper, and take a nice deep breath of that blue of the Atlantic Ocean when you're out very deep. And the Pacific Ocean. And the blue, the color of delphiniums. and Siberian iris. And that deep twilight blue. And feel yourself begin to drift across that twilight blue sky. Letting go of earth. Letting go of concerns, responsibilities. And just allowing yourself to be. And breathe blue. And bring yourself deeper. And allow yourself to float. And as you float above Earth, across that magnificent twilight sky, across the sparkling stars, with the beginning of the Milky Way, feel that energy of the Universal Mother, of the Divine Mother, of that Mother that has birthed us, created us, loved and nurtured us forever. And feel that blue velvet simply wrap around you as you feel safe and secure in your ability to go further than ever. And let go and simply be. And feel that love. The love of the mother that has trusted you and had such faith in you to go off and have your adventure. And yet always continued to love and support you no matter what. Or no matter what the externals and the struggles that we have created or that have been created around us. No matter what it looks like, she's there. And breathe deeper into your heart. As part of today, we allow our Universal Mother to reconnect and support and fill us with hope, with that knowing that we are one. Greetings, I am Mary.
Hello, welcome.
And welcome to you, sweet one. Welcome to all of you. And yes, I come as mother of hope and mother of change, mother of serenity, mother of laughter, mother of joy, mother of one. The distinctions that you make between myself, Universal Mother, and Divine Mother are human distinctions. And they are created so that you will have a multitude of ways in which to come to know me. so that I may guide you, and that I may guide you back home. That no matter how far you wander, or what the journey entails, that should you choose in any instance, in any reality, to call upon me, to know me, to allow me to embrace you, I am there. So I have a million faces and as many names, and I am still one. Creation is eternal, and it is born of stillness, but it is also born of infinite inspiration and movement. And this is the gift that I give to you. It is not merely hope. That is your fundamental bedrock from which all emanates. But you are also filled with inspiration, with ideas, with love, with laughter, to bring that stillness into form, into matter, into experience, into creation. And right now, beloved ones, into the creation of Nova Being and Nova Earth. You. And I do not just mean you, the collective. I mean each of you. Beloved children of my heart, are magnificent and phenomenal. And you are the catalyst. In so many ways, you are my continued inspiration. Because we continually create ways in which to assist you on your journey. And that is the way, in many instances, how hope has come to be misconstrued. It is the plea that is heard in the dark of night. It is the prayer that is whispered over a sick child's bed, or when there is no food in the larder. It is, Mother, help me and give me something tangible. Give me a sign. So hope is often thought of as request and receiving. But what I say to thee is that hope is the foundation upon which those requests, those prayers, those creations are based. Because if there was not the knowing, yes, sometimes doubt creeps in, but it does not matter. If the knowing was not there of our existence and our presence always in each and every one of your lives, every life, then you would not pray. You would not ask. And in your terminology, you would not have hope. So bring it back. No, I am not asking you in any way, shape, or form to limit your requests, because they are always heard and always acted upon, whether they are directly to me, to your guardian angels, to your guides, to the archangels, to the masters. They are always heard and acted upon. Now, often you say, Mother, I do not think. I have been praying for X and I have not received it. We are not suggesting that our actions and how we respond to your prayers is always as you wish or think we should respond. But it would be erroneous for you to think that we are not responding. It is the balance. It is our eternal partnership. It is the infinite agreement that we have formed when you agreed to assume form. It was actually quite straightforward. I will go, but you have to promise to help. That promise has never been broken. Even in what you have thought of as the darkest days, either of your planet or of your life. So my purpose in speaking with you this day is not merely to reassure you. It is to reconfirm that promise. I am your mother. It is not possible within my realm, my essence, to not respond to you. It is what a mother does. So, dear heart, I know you have many questions this day, for this makes for a lively discussion, does it not? Where shall we begin?
Well, it most certainly makes for a lively discussion, and we certainly welcome everyone's participation. So for those of you listening in on the phone, feel free to press 1 and join us with your questions and your comments. I'll kick this off. You mentioned that you'd like to provide some reassurance, and for those that are questioning the ascension process, could you speak, and you spoke to the darkest days of the planet. Could you speak to the level of hope that you are seeing on the planet for what people are embodying right now, what's in people's hearts?
Yes, increasingly. Minute to minute, second to second, millisecond to millisecond. So I am not simply speaking of days or hours here. There is an increase in the level of hope, the level of stillness that is being brought forward by each of you. Now, why do I emphasize the stillness? I tell you, because that is where the knowing is found. That is where the creation takes place. Many think that ascension, the coming to the new reality, is based in a flurry of activity. It is not. When you are going to the place of still point, when you are going to the full place of hope, you are allowing the changes to take place. You are allowing the fullness, not only of our being, but of your being, to come to the forefront. And for that shift, that quantum leap to be completed. In fact, your ascension process goes well. You know, I have an interest in this. It is part of my plan. So, yes. Is it slowed slightly? But not significantly. And that is what is key. When you are rushing about, looking at your watch and saying, well, it's been 3 hours and I haven't ascended yet. Well, it is rather funny, is it not? But when you go to the stillness and you allow the expansion, and in many ways you allow yourself to float up, as it were, and that it increases and increases and increases and increases, because it is a building process, then you are underway. So you are, as a collective, about halfway there.
I appreciate how you're speaking to the flurry of activity. And I was just talking with some colleagues last night about this, how we have been feeling within our own selves, in our own lives as a result, that our level of activity has gone down quite a bit. In fact, it's tied with this feeling of not as much energy, but I almost want to say a feeling of encouragement just to be and to slow down and to be still. Can you speak to that a little bit, that feeling, that sensation?
Yes, it is called serenity. I am teasing you, dear heart. But yes, what you have been feeling is the externals, all those distractions, are becoming less and less. And if I can say this, your field of vision is becoming more focused. Now, it does not mean that you are not aware of what is going on upon your planet, or that you do not care what is going on upon your planet. You care intensely. But what you are realizing is that in order to accomplish what you truly desire, what is the core of your being, that less is required, less movement, less activity, more simply being. Because it is in that that you allow yourself to proceed. It is allowing yourself to anchor and expand, anchor and expand. Now, concomitant to that, you also feel at the same time that you are working flat out 24/7. And that is a level of exhaustion that many of you are feeling. I have been up for 3 hours. I think it is time for a nap. Because the human body and the human being simply has not been used to holding this much energy. And then, yes, even with the preparation that you have done, some of you for a year or 2 years, some of you for 20, it matters not. so you are getting used to. And then there are some of you that are doing it very intensely for the collective. So you are doing not only your work, but the work of others as well. So the feeling of exhaustion, of less energy, is because you are actually processing more. Let us use the example. If you have not been in training, and one day you decide that you are going to run 5K, at the end of that, you are going to feel exhausted. And that is assuming that you finish. You are going to need hydration and protein and some energy bars and a good rest. That is what you are doing. So you are doing short spurts rest, short spurts rest, but do not make the mistake of thinking that in the time of rest that you are not doing anything. Actually, in the time of rest, you are doing about tenfold what you are doing when you are consciously working. And that is a very low estimate.
Exhaustion is definitely a theme that I've been feeling, and the short spurts of, energy and then needing to rest. So you spoke to that well. I'd like to just share a little bit about my personal process and then give Suzanne an opportunity to ask some questions as well as some others. Everything you've shared, I resonate with directly on a personal level, and I've noticed that I've been feeling much more peaceful and calm as a theme these last months. And in being in that place, the level of fear and doubt has just faded away. It doesn't stick to me anymore. I'm not feeling it as much. And one could argue that my station in life is the same it's been. But it's just that there's just a theme of peace and calm. And then in being in that place, the building that you speak of, I translate that for me, it's the inspiration, the ideas, and it's the love and the bliss and the joy. It's just building more and more and more. It's just, I feel like I'm stepping in more to who I am. I am love. Anything you want to speak to around that?
You are becoming. And I say this to you, dear heart, but I also say it to many of the listeners. You are becoming the Nova being. And I am not suggesting that the Nova being is not a being that takes action. But when the plan was wrought, when it was originally formed, and even in this framework, this time frame that you think of now as ascension, I never said to you, your guardians, your guides never said to you, Michael never said to you, go to Earth, work with your family. In many cases, allow them to misunderstand you and abuse you. Then, if you could, please get a meaningful job where you are paid well and you have to work 12 hours a day in order to get ahead. Ignore your inner being. Make sure that you are busy always so that you fall in bed at night without even 10 minutes for a prayer or mild reflection. Do this for 70 years and then come back. That was never the plan. The plan, even outside of ascension, was for you to come to Earth as the bright energy, starseed angels that you are, to laugh and play and know the sheer joy and love in physical form of having a human experience. But the experience, the entire plan was to be in joy. Now, that did not mean that you would not have the slightest flicker because of the illusions that have built up of pain, of suffering, of grief, of sorrow. Although that was to be eliminated and overcome, let go of. But the entire purpose wasn't to come and work and slave, not on behalf of me, not on behalf of the universe, and certainly not so you could earn points and be in a state of grace. You are a state of grace. You are a state of wholeness. So as you incorporate and are coming to this place of remembering, I am love. I am joy. And I may do this or that with my family, with work, with my friends, with my community, because it is meaningful and it contributes to the readjustment of Gaia, the building of a world that makes sense and is reflective of divine plan. So what I say to thee is congratulations. Now, if I was human, I would be saying, yippee, you got it.
Thanks for speaking to that. I'd like to bring on Dottie of Fresno. Dottie, welcome to the show. What's your question or comment today?
Hi, Graham. I am expressing in my heart how each of you give me hope, and I have listened but not called in or talked to this point, but in just profound ways. Each of you, including Linda, and I was sharing with Suzanne, and also with you, Graham, and your gentleness, and, of course, Linda, for all of us. And I think what comes up for me now may be for the mother, and that is deep, profound gratitude again, dear Mother Mary, in that feeling, just even when I express, when I even say, oh, Mother, in my times of stillness and quietness, how I am overwhelmed, I think, at times by that love, and I am grateful. And then also how to continue to see and picture continue with hope for my wonderful husband, beautiful husband, but maybe is at a time right now where he's expressing, I mean, outwardly there are concerns that I would have, and at other times I don't feel that at all. But in and out of that place, and how to maintain that hope and that faith for him. So that's my question and comment.
First of all, dear heart, dear Dottie, I want you to know, I want all of you to know, that the gratitude is reciprocal. For I am in gratitude for you, for your light, and for the hope that you hold. Now about your husband, or perhaps for some of you it may be your child, your neighbor, your parent, and you see them wavering, that is when you turn to the bedrock of hope and the knowing not the thinking, but the knowing that all is in divine order. But I am also a very practical mother. If you are outside and you are trying to plant a pole, mm-hmm. and there is a high wind, and you are trying to put it in the ground, and it is wobbling back and forth, wobbling back and forth, and you need help to hold it still so that it can be anchored into Gaia.
Mm.
Now, what you are doing, your husband is the wobbling pole, and he is being buffeted by the winds of change.
Yes.
It is not that he does not have hope.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he may waffle back and forth about remembering that he has hope, but nevertheless, he has hope. So what you are doing is holding that pole steady. You are adding your hope, your knowing, your faith, your strength, your creation to him. Literally, as if your arms are outstretched and you are holding his field steady.
Mm-hmm.
So that he can anchor and be firm. Now, if you think or feel or know that you are holding this pole firmly and you are not strong enough, because it is a hurricane wind and these winds of change are very strong, then simply ask me to help.
I will.
That is my promise.
Thank you.
I will do so.
Thank you. It's beautiful. I will do that work. And,
and I will do it with you, dear heart.
Thank you. Thank
Farewell.
You. Farewell.
Lottie, thank you so much for your call. Mm. Blessings and love to you.
It was a privilege and wonderful to have the opportunity to ask and to connect with all of you. Thank you, Graham.
I'm glad you did. Thanks for your call.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
Suzanne, you have some questions for Mother Mary today.
Hi. Hello, Mary. Welcome. Thank you so much for speaking to us in this way. I have a few comments, actually, of listening to you, and it feels like the calmness just feels like a universal sedative for all of us so that we can just, release the things that keep us from feeling the energies and the changes that are happening. And I also feel like aspects of who I am are doing the energy transfer and anchoring work steadily no matter what my body is up to. Okay, so the question that I have is, one of them, the return of the divine feminine will heal the wounds of humanity. The fact that it used to be universally thought of God as a man, even though there's no gender to source, the fact that you're here and speaking to us as, you know, that energy is just so wonderful, and that the Dalai Lama has said that the Western woman will save the world. Would you please speak to that?
You already are. And yes, your question is profound, and it is profound because it speaks to the unfoldment of the plan, of my plan, and you as Western woman, to your plan. The divine feminine, my energy and your energy, and again, this is not gender-based, is the ability to create and to bring forth, to birth what is truth, what is light, what is meaningful. Western women have heeded the inspiration for a long time. Think of, oh, it has been about 70 of your years in the United States where the suffragettes began to claim their right to vote. A very basic thing to say, my voice must be heard. My desires and what I wish to create for myself and for my family must be taken into account. Now, how was that born? It was heavily influenced by the work that they were undertaking with emancipation. And many women realized that it was not only their black brothers and sisters who were enslaved, but them as well, that they did not have the power to evoke the practical changes. And this has gone in fits and starts. The rise of feminism. Again, the demand for liberation, for freedom. Yes, biological freedom, reproductive freedom. It is self-determination. And what I say, and you are seeing this all over your planet, this rise, Saint Germain's cry for freedom, the Arab Spring. But this cry for freedom has come most strongly, most clearly, and most consistently from the Western women. You will not stand for it. And you will not stand for children being shot and families going hungry and inequality, because none of these things are of love. The redefinition of family, of what constitutes family, of expanded family, of reconstructed family, of community, and what community is capable of, is coming from the grassroots of women. Now, I do not say this to the exclusion of the male population, because at the same time as you are shifting and ascending, the male population is finally embracing their divine feminine.
Yes.
In the same way that many of the women are saying, I will have to embrace my divine masculine and move into action in new and different ways. So it is reaching the balance, and it is the Western women saying, particularly to the Western men, being in a male-dominated society and culture is not acceptable. What you have created economically, financially, politically, culturally, is not loving. It is not reflective of the divine qualities. It does not take into account the potential and the sanctity of each life. Let us say the Dalai Lama is correct. He is always correct.
And he's such a wonderful person. I have, thank you just for speaking to that. I have another question about the intentions of light workers to heal the collective. Does that interfere with their free will, or is it you working through willing humans and is therefore divine will? To what degree does that affect them? And can we have a reminder that our invisible work is being effective?
Your invisible work, as you call it, is not only effective, it is having very visible results. Look around you.
Yes.
It does not interfere because it is against universal law. It does not interfere with the free will of others. What you are doing, it is like how I have spoken with Dottie. You are holding the field so that pole can stabilize. And when it is anchored in Gaia, then you let go.
Mm-hmm.
You stand back. You are the observer.
Mm-hmm.
And the choice to go forward is individual. But you know, what has been forgotten in many ways? You have come from a unified field. All of you. And there is an innate desire to recreate and return and be part of a unified field. That is why you don't live as hermits. It is not simply economics or urban migration that has caused the coming together of people. It is the desire to feel connected and part of a bigger whole. Now, has it been sullied and lost, and the original intent often forgotten? Yes. But there is an innate desire, what brings you joy. There is the joy that you experience simply because of who you are. And then there is the explosive joy of love when you share it. So it is an expansion, exponential. So there is this desire to reconnect. So when you are doing your work, your invisible work with the collective, what you are really saying is, I am giving you love, I am giving you support, and I am trying to remind you that we care about you and we would like you to join us in freedom. You see, too often the fact of joining together has become downgraded to being controlled.
Yes.
And that is what is being cleansed and let go of. Now you are realizing to come together. Women have always known this. To come together is support and strength. So you are not forcing anyone to join you. But you are saying, we would like it. And that is a gift. Everybody, every being on this planet yearns. They do not know why sometimes, but they yearn to belong, to be part of a unified field, because that is who you are.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Mother. I am yours. I am yours in every way possible. Thank you so much.
And I am yours, sweet angel.
Wonderful
Farewell.
Question. Really great question. I'm curious, as you are in a wonderful share here, as you've been talking about women stepping more into their roles and on a global front and the power inherent in that, anything you'd like to say about what happened on the 14th of February when many came together to support the ending of violence against women, 1 billion strong? And, of course, that was a significant day on Valentine's Day. Anything you'd like to say about that unification, that united effort?
It was the beginning of building of Nova Earth in so many ways. It was such an appropriate day, the celebration of love and the celebration of freedom. Violence against women has been the anathema of your planet. Beginning with Gaia, who has been terribly abused. So yes, sexual violence, predatory violence, physical violence, you cannot have love or intact communities, productive communities, productive families, loving families, and have women that are being suppressed, mutilated, killed, beaten, because they are women. What this speaks to is the fundamental male fear of losing power. They know the creative power of the feminine. And they have worked to suppress this through various forms of imprisonment and violence for thousands of years. Now, as the shift occurs, as the awakening occurs, it occurs not only in men, but in women saying no more. This was a declaration, and it will be many more billion before we are done. Do not think that I do not move in each of these gatherings and crowds, because I do. And I encourage my women, my girls, my children to declare who they are and that they will not permit such violence against them. This was what you call a red letter day. The light that exploded on February 14th, from this planet, lit up the universe. There was celebration far and wide of women, of Nova Earth, of love. Your star brothers and sisters were dancing and singing. It was a holiday throughout many galaxies.
Beautiful. We've spoken on this show today about the balance of the feminine and the masculine and how men are expanding. And I'll just share a personal reflection here that my feminine aspects have been blooming wonderfully, and so as a result, I'm feeling so much open-heartedness, so much love, and those attributes, along with others, in tandem with the attributes of the masculine, I'm feeling like such an expanded being. So, the masculine paradigm, the old paradigm of obviously I'm stereotyping here, or being very general, but to obtain power through oppression, control, it it's clearly not there with me. The power is there, but it's the power in the expansion of my being and all that comes with it.
That is correct. To be truly masculine is extraordinarily beautiful. To participate with and to observe, to watch, because it is the holding of energy, the ability of action, to protect. But what the masculine forgot, both personally and globally, is that they had need to feed the goddess within and without. Now that has been reawakened. As you reawaken the divine feminine informs and demands of the divine masculine within to step forward. So the old illusions and false paradigms of what the masculine are simply falls away.
You've had direct experience on Earth, incarnating as a human. You've experienced much challenge and hardship. Can you provide, please, tangible guidance for bringing about hope for those listening, please?
Yes, I can. And even though I lived in a different time and age during that experience, you would be surprised in a lot of ways how little things changed. When I was to be betrothed to Joseph, whom I passionately loved, and who passionately loved me, we were beautiful partners. There was so much that was said to him about my character, shall we say, and about our age difference, and about our different positions in life. And I was hesitant because I loved and cared for Joseph. And he said to me, "Mary, do you not know that this is the plan of the mother and father? Do you not know? Do you not hold hope that everything is exactly as it has need to be?" And I was reticent at times throughout our life. Again, because we knew the pathway of Yeshua. We knew the trials and tribulations. And there were times when I would ask him to perhaps not be such a confrontational, controversial, public figure. And again, Yeshua and Joseph would say to me, "You must hold the hope and the stillness and the knowing. For you are the glue, Mary, that holds this family together. For there were many brothers and sisters as well. We could not let everything fall apart." But it is that knowing and being able in the face of great challenge, and I use challenge, not hardship, to know that there is a presence and a rightness to what is being undertaken, and that you have to stay. You have to stay in that place of stillness to the very last moment. I would hope for different outcomes in the human sense of wishing and hoping. And yet my core was bedrock, knowing that regardless of what transpired, that all was in order. So it was not that I was not having a human experience. I was. But also aware of the fullness of the plan. And there were times when I would really want, or hope, as you would call it, that Yeshua would heal this or that person, someone I loved in my village, in my family. And he would not. And I would question him, but he would say, well, that is not what they are asking for. Their plan is different, Mother. I am not suggesting to you that to hold serenity at all moments when the externals appear to be harsh or difficult. This is not that it's something that is just anchored overnight. It is a lifetime of practice. And a return, and a return, and a return, and an expansion of who you are. Not only of knowing of my presence, of Source presence, but of your place within that, and that you are never alone. You are never abandoned. And you are never unheeded. Does that mean that your life and the human experience will not have heartbreak at moments? That is a human reaction. Even when you know that death is a return to the collective, to the unified field. But the heart yearns, the human heart yearns for different outcome. But still you hold the knowing that all is right in unfoldment. The strength, the incredible strength of the human spirit, whether you are angel or starseed, earthkeeper, wayshower, pillar, or gatekeeper, is unknown elsewhere. Unknown. That is why you have chosen and stepped forward and been part of this plan of physical ascension. Your strength, your determination, your hope. And you are teaching many throughout the galaxies. You are forming that template. You are holding the energy for this to happen elsewhere. You are far more clear and loving and determined and joyous than you know.
What tips do you have for staying in serenity?
It is a universal tip. It is laugh. Yes, laughter. Because when you look and you can laugh, even if there are tears flowing down your cheeks, it is a form of surrender. The other key to serenity is beauty. Yes, grace and awe as well, but let me speak to beauty. When you behold, embrace, become, acknowledge beauty, it is like a breath of fresh air. It is that deep intake of breath that calms you right down. Beauty, of course, can be found in the faces of your loved one, but it is best found and connected with by being outside, by seeing and gazing and being part of and connecting with Gaia. You cannot be lying on the grass, walking a pristine forest, sitting by a pond in the beauty and splendor of Gaia, and not be serene. Even within the most urban setting, there are patches of green and patches of sky. The way the sun or the clouds will move light on a building or come through and caress your face on a winter's day. A bird random flying in front of you. A dog wagging their tail with the sheer joy of being outside. Even in an urban setting, as you place your feet upon the cement or concrete, take a moment to feel the energy go down and touch the heart of Gaia and feel the beauty that emanates. Feel the air. Beauty will keep you serene. It will remind you of the plan. It will restore you. It will refresh you. And it will give you the capacity to go back and deal with the human beings.
Wonderful. Can you speak with the remaining minutes that we have left? There are so many questions, and you did speak of loneliness and the heart yearning, and a lot of people are thinking about love relationships and what love may look like moving forward. And you spoke to the quality that you and Joseph had together, that love. And I'm wondering if you can speak to that and then tie in what we can anticipate with sacred partnerships moving forward.
Sacred partnerships. And I know that you are speaking of love, human partnerships. But do not forget that you are also in partnership with us. But I would gloss over that. I have referred this day to how the heart, the soul of your being, yearns to be part of the collective, That is not herd mentality. That is joy seeking. That is the acknowledgement of your divinity in yourself and with another. As you are emerging into your sacred self, in, shall we say, clearer balance of your divine masculine and feminine, as that is occurring, sacred partnerships, sacred unions are taking on the divine qualities. Now, in the past, we have referred to it, women have been married off or have married, and men have married, for a variety of reasons, economic, social, political, many of them exclusionary of love and of the genuine admiration. Admiration is a very important quality of partnership. If you do not admire the one that you are with, if you are not in awe of who they are, it's very difficult to continue day in and day out. The key for the new form of love relationships, and many of you, most of you, in fact, will be entering into a form of relationship because it is also part of the patterning and the design of Nova Being. There are a few who will wish to travel alone. It is not judged one way or the other, but the patterning, by and large, is to be in partnership of one sort or another. And there are many expressions of that. We do not mean it gender specific. But it does not include judgment. But it includes awe, admiration, appreciation, gratitude, spaciousness. This is something that is often absent in many relationships that we observe. It is not ownership to be in partnership, and there has need to be the room between you, each to do what you are destined to do, what you choose to do, and what brings you joy, and then to bring that back. So there are things that you will create and co-create together, and then there are things that is important to do by your sacred self, and then bring it the way a child brings a drawing to their mother. And it is celebrated and valued and cherished. It is unconditional support. Not love, that goes without saying, but what has been absent in many human relationships is the unconditional support. And I hear it all the time. Well, I'm sorry, I can't support you in that. And I hear that. And I wonder why. Child, do you think there is anything that you bring to me and I say, I can't support you in that? I have said all prayers are heeded and answered. Perhaps not in the way that you thought, but nevertheless they are answered. They are responded to. So when someone says, I cannot support you, it is a very curious lack of love. I may not agree with you. I may not understand. I may not have the same vision or understanding of the picture, but I support you unconditionally. And if you are misstepping, I will hold your hand while you rearrange and rebalance. This is a very important quality of new relationships. It is the removal of condition. It is the removal of, I will love you if. The if is gone, the but is gone. And the flow is eternal. That is what changes. And when you support, and when you come in union with a friend or your divine other, this is how you will experience it. So it is very different than the paradigm of relationships that has been present heretofore on earth.
We have just
think of it as Gaia. She has never said to you, well, I will support you and let you stay on my planet if you do not sully my face. No, she has always supported you.
With the few minutes remaining, and thank you for speaking to that, can you express the hope that you feel as you see the light expanding on the planet and the shift, ascension occurring?
And I bring you back to what I have channeled through Linda so long ago. It is the eternal knowing of the divine. So the hope that I see, that I know, that I feel, that I am observing and participating in the unfoldment is the shift, the growing quantum leap of light. It isn't simply growing quietly or softly. It is jumping like a forest fire. And it is the hope that this will be completed rapidly in your terms and in mine. You will do this because it is right and it is in alignment with who you are and what all is. Go with my love, dear hearts, and go with my blessings, and go now with my infinite hope for each of you. Farewell.
Farewell. Thank you so much.